Luke chapter 2 for the scripture reading this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord that day appeared to humble shepherds out in the fields, men that many would reject as being very godly or very spiritual. But the Bible goes on to say, And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from heaven into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now many people felt that the shepherd had no testimony, had no right to be heard. And yet the God of heaven allowed the shepherds to receive the message from the angels in order that they might go and do exactly what they did, and that is to share the message. In this chapter, there are three common individuals, the shepherds, Simeon, and then we have Anna at the end. Just simple, common people that God used to announce the coming birth of Christ. And so it was, they made haste and found Mary. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. She pondered the birth of Christ. She pondered the announcement of Christ. Later on, she would ponder the crucifixion of the Savior. And all of these things were pondered and thought and meditated on her in her heart. And the Bible says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and as it was told unto them. Now, I understand there's a special music. Or there isn't. All right. All right. Then let's go on to the text. All right. I'm going to begin at verse number 21, and we're going to read down to about verse 33. And it was 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child. His name was called Jesus, which is so named of the angel before he conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which was in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he came, the Bible says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in Jesus to do for him that which was of the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which has been prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Let's ask God's blessing. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, as we look again this morning at the life of Simeon, I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that, Lord, that we might find that he is such a model that would encourage us to share the message of Christmas and to share the gospel to those who know it not. Our Father, teach us, speak to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're looking at Simeon's final farewell, as one man has described it. There are others who say it's a testimony of Simeon, but we'll just keep it the final farewell. Someone has calculated that in the history of man, there have not been more than 100,000 really important people, great people, who have made an impressionable mark on history. How accurate that figure is, we don't know. There have been billions upon billions of people who have walked upon this earth, and certainly by that standard, there are relatively probably less than 99% or less than 1% of the population of the world has ever made an impression on history or done something to affect the progress in the world. We can name the name of many people that were great. There were men like Aristotle, Augustine, Napoleon, Abraham Lincoln. I think that we could safely say that very few were ever at the stature of those men. In the same way, very few Christian men and women have ever been acclaimed as great. You have people like Dwight L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon. You have, depending on where you stand, Charles Stanley. Not only Dwight L. Moody, but Jack Hiles and R.V. Clearwaters. Now, in the circles that I walked in, those men were great men. Dr. R.V. Clearwaters was the president of Central Baptist Seminary. He also pastored Fourth Baptist Church, came to the church, was there over 40 years. It started with 200, and when it reached its height, it reached 1,500 people in that church. Started a seminary that has sent men all over the world preaching the gospel of Christ. Very few of us have that kind of stature. Most of us are just common, ordinary men. Do you realize in Baptist churches across this country, and there are thousands of them, that over 80% are under 100 people? Those churches count. Those churches are important, pastored by common, ordinary men. And those are the men that God will many times use in a wonderful way. We tend to honor the few on the basis of their personalities, their outward appearances. But God has a different standard by which he measures the greatness of a man. He measures us on the basis of our faithfulness. He measures us on the basis of how much we are willing to surrender our life for Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 20, 26 to 27, "Whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant." That word there that he uses is the word diakonos. That word is applied to the deacon, it is applied to the apostles, and it's applied to the laymen. We are just simply ministering servants. He says, "Whoever is great, well, let him be your servant." Then he says, "Whoever is chief among you, let him be your servant." This word is the word doulos. That means a servant that has been bought with a price and belongs to the master. Beloved, we are ministering servants who belong to the master. And our greatness, for most of us, is only going to come when we dedicate ourselves wholly to Jesus Christ and we're faithful to his call. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 to 2, Paul says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ." There's another word. That's the Greek word that refers to a servant who is a slave, and his job is rowing. In other words, the master is totally in control of his life, and he does what he's told, and he doesn't choose what he's told to do. He just does what he's told. Beloved, God has chosen to use the lives and testimonies of multitudes of very common people, men and women, that bring forth the gospel preaching or the progress of the kingdom. This morning we have before us the example of a very insignificant and relatively unknown man, the man Simeon. Nothing is known about this man. Oh, there are some traditions about who he was. But there's nothing in history that is solid that tells us about this man. For that reason, Chuck Swindoll said that early in his ministry, whenever it came to passages like this, he just passed them over because he wanted to preach the outstanding passages. But oh, beloved, passing over Simeon is a big mistake, and he found that out over the years. Luke reveals to us a man whose entire life seemed to have been planned and revolved around that one moment when the Lord had told him he would not die until he had seen the Christ. That was the thing that his entire life revolved around. Now, I think when you get to heaven, you're going to find out his life had huge impact because he was godly. But that one thing at the end was what God had planned that he would do. Luke reveals this, and this morning I want you to see two things as we look at this story. Simeon's testimony about the Christ trial confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah. Just like the angels appeared to the shepherds, they confirmed it. Just like Anna later, after Simeon, comes into the temple and confirms it. Three common people. Why three? The Old Testament said that there had to be two or three witnesses to affirm any truth. So here, what does he use? A common, ordinary man by the name of Simeon. Two things. Notice the preparation of this man. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I want you to notice. And there was a man. That's all he was, a man. Now, some believe that he was the son of Hillel and the father of Gamaliel. Now, if you remember, Gamaliel was the teacher of the Apostle Paul. Hillel was the leader of two great schools of thought among the Jews. There were Shammai and Hillel. Hillel was sort of the more liberal school. Now, that didn't mean they departed from Scripture, but they took a more compassionate interpretation of the law than the school of Shammai. And some believe that he was the son of Hillel, and so that he would be very, very old. Some say he was a man that helped translate the Septuagint. That means he would have had to have been 200 years old. Then some say he was about 113 years old, and I think that could be the reality. He probably was over 100 years old at this time. Anna was. Anna was over 100 years old waiting for the consolation of Israel. But notice how God prepared this man. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was righteous and devout. Luke tells us very little about his background, but his name means one who hears and one obeys. That sounds like my Sunday school lesson. A man that heard and obeyed and followed the word of God all of his life. Luke reveals us two outstanding things about him. He was a just or righteous man. The word just refers to a man who's upright, godly. In all of his dealings with men, he was fair and honest. He was a man that had character. Simeon was basically a good man. Then number two, he was devout. That word refers to the sincerity of his religious worship. Beloved, he was real. He was real. There was no facade, no hypocrisy in this man's life. He walked with God all of his life, and he was real. He was an example of what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 4, 23, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Somehow, some time ago, I read about a man out in New York who had a good collection of etchings. Now, my dad was a plate maker. My dad was an unsaved man, but I remember so many times I would go down to downtown Minneapolis to the Bureau of Engraving where my dad worked, and he would allow me to come in and watch him as he made the plates that would be shot. They used a machine that was intensely hot, and they would be engraved. What he did would be engraved on the metal. And those were what you would call the etchings. They used acid. Now, if you ever pick up Time magazine or a glossy magazine, if you could look close at every picture, you would see all the pictures are a bunch of circles. My dad's job was to work with acid with those circles and to help create them. And he was a lithographer is what they called him at that time. Well, a man out in New York had a picture, an etching. It was of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and he hung it by his desk. For a long time, he noticed that the picture was always hanging crooked when he came into the office in the morning. He was really frustrated about it. So finally, one day, he asked the cleaning lady, asking her if she was responsible for the lopsided picture. "Why, yes," she said. "I have to hang it crooked so that the tower stands straight." Didn't get the idea of the picture. In the same way, beloved, religious people will go to great lengths to try to make their crooked lives look straight, covering over with all kinds of facade and all kinds of hypocrisy, using all kinds of glorious words, and even when they pray. But, beloved, God knows the heart. God knows my heart. A man can twist the scriptures in order to justify his sinful actions, just like the Pharisees so often did. But Simeon was not like that. The Bible says he was real. He was genuine. He was godly. He was a man that when you talked to him and saw his life, it was something that was real. You could take him at his word. But notice his expectation. He was waiting for, looking for the consolation of Israel. There were some in Israel who were known as the quiet in the land. They were godly people who weren't looking for some army to throw off the Roman yoke. They weren't looking for some worldly triumph of some kind for Israel. They were the quiet, the godly in the land who were looking for the consolation. They were looking for the Messiah. Oh, that we might have more quiet people. We get all wrapped up in politics and then get disappointed. The Messiah was commonly referred to as the consolation of Israel in the Old Testament. He's referred to in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people. That word has the idea to comfort, to console. He looked for the Messiah to come and to deal with the people's sin and to bring hope and forgiveness to their sins. Simeon was looking for the coming of the Messiah. He looked for a Messiah at a time when the majority in Israel had lost sight of that hope. He was waiting for the Messiah, which means he was continually waiting. He centered his life around the hope that someday that child, that Jesus, was coming. We ought to live our lives looking for the second coming of Christ. We ought to live our lives with a longing to be what we ought to be when we die as we enter into the presence of Christ. Beloved, there's a difference between waiting and watching. He did both. There's a story of a fishing fleet in Scotland that often went out for 3 months at a time. Usually when the fleet returned, the whole town would come down from the hills, from their little cottages down to the dock to look for the one that was their loved one getting off the ships. The ships would come in as a group, and the captain of the lead ship had a megaphone. And as they're coming into the harbor, they're looking at all the people that are there, and he would call out to somebody that there's your wife, there's your daughter. He would do that one by one. And one time as they came in, there was a man by the name of Angus, and he had called out almost every other family, but he hadn't heard about his wife. And he said, "Do you see my wife there?" And the captain turned and said, "I'm sorry, Angus, I don't see her. She's not there." When the ship docked, each man went to his loved ones, but Angus walked through the crowd and his wife was not there. Finally, he made his way up the hill to their little cottage, opened the door, and his wife was there. And she said, "Oh, Angus, I've been waiting for you." And Angus responded, "All the others were watching for them." All the others cared enough to be watching. Simeon was watching. He wasn't just waiting. It wasn't just religion. It was real. He was looking for the consolation, the coming of the Christ child. Notice, and the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit rested upon this man in an unusual and special way. The passage seems to indicate the Holy Spirit was continually upon him, much like in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells in us permanently when we accept Christ. This was highly unusual because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would often just come upon a man temporarily for service. But Simeon had a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him, preparing him for the coming of the Christ child. Notice the special revelation given to him, verse 26. "And so it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Beloved, the Holy Spirit made known to Simeon that he would not die until he had personally seen the Christ child. Now, he didn't know at that time what he'd be looking for, but the Holy Spirit promised that someday he would see that child. And so he waited and he watched. No one knows just how the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, by a word or by an impression in his heart, maybe by a dream. But somehow the Holy Spirit made it clear to him that he was not to die until he had seen the Christ. Very likely, Simeon was a very old man and had already, for many years, waited and waited and waited and was watching. Don't ever give up looking for the rapture. Beloved, the older I get, I realize I'm probably not going to be alive at the rapture. But I could get in my car this afternoon and leave this service, and I could suddenly, all of a sudden, find myself flashed into the presence of the Savior, Carol as well, going with me. You never know. Jesus is coming. But look at the supernatural direction that God gave him in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple one day, because the Lord led him there. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then, the Bible says, he took him up in his arms. And I can see this old man with tears of joy running down his face as he picks up the Christ child in his own arms and lifts him up and blesses the name of God for the fulfillment of prophecy. The Holy Spirit led them to the temple that day and led him to the right child. The Spirit has somehow moved or directed him. This suggests that Simeon was especially sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he was one that responded to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit led him at the right moment, at the right time. He came at a moment when Mary and Joseph were bringing the child into the temple. Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus to the temple at the time to fulfill the law. Now, if you were to go back in this chapter, you will read phrases like that the law might be fulfilled, that the law might be fulfilled, that the law might be fulfilled, the law might be fulfilled. You'll find four phrases like that and 10 times referencing the law of God. Here again was a man that loved the Word of God, and God acting to fulfill the law allows him to see the Christ child. But Mary and Joseph, as they bring the child in, do you notice? The Bible says in verse 21, and when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child, his name was called Jesus, which so named of the angel before he was conceived. And when the days of her purification according to the law were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. And as it is written, verse 23, in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. The parents, likewise, were meticulous in fulfilling the law in reference to the Christ child. Now that's really significant. The child had to be circumcised on the 8th day, at which time he was to be given his name and brought under the Abrahamic covenant. That would have been done in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2:21 says, when his 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision, his name was called Jesus. Number two, the mother had to be ceremonially purified. She could not, after the birth of a child, come up to the temple until 40 days of purification. A woman who gave birth to a son was considered unclean during those 40 days. Now, many say that is because of sin, and the marriage process is sinful, but that's not what was going on. She was unclean, and that was a way of God's protecting her and that young child during those 40 days, and it was also a way of, in a sense, of keeping her and preparing her for the day when she could go to the temple. She might continue her normal activities, but could not participate in any religious ceremonies until after the 40 days of purification. Luke chapter 2:24 says, and they came to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. It's so significant. After her purification, they offered the sacrifice, and oftentimes it was a lamb. But if a person was poor, they were permitted to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Joseph and Mary were poor. Jesus was born in an ordinary home, a home in which there was no luxuries, a home in which every penny had to be pinched, a home where the members of the family knew the difficulty of making a living. They fulfilled the law. Number three, the third ceremony was the redemption of the firstborn. This goes back to the time when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, and every household that had the blood on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over. And of course, the lamb that they were eating that night represented Christ. The blood represented the cross and the death of Christ. And every child in that home that was the firstborn male had to be purchased and bought back, because that child belonged to God. And so they went up to the temple for the ceremony of redemption of their firstborn son, who was Jesus. Well, but the point is that in detail, meticulously, Mary and Joseph, who were sinners like all others, were entrusted with the care of the Christ child, and they so loved the Word of God, and they so understood what God required of them, that meticulously they fulfilled the law for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those that are under the law. And that Son had, He had to have parents that were godly. He had to have parents that would do the right thing for Him. And He also Himself fulfilled the law perfectly, so that He became the perfect sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. Parents, don't you ever think that you're not important to your children's lives. Parents who obey the Word of God and love the Word of God and teach it to their children are the greatest blessing to those children's lives, even if they don't understand it. Don't ever give up on your children and doing the right thing. Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law to a letter if He was to redeem, be the Redeemer under the law. Jesus Christ had to be totally without sin if He was to be the sacrifice for sin. One time a mother brought a rich-looking black towel. She wanted to have that towel match her decor in the bathroom. I can't imagine a black bathroom, black wall, whatever. But she bought this rich-looking black towel. She noticed that her 5-year-old little boy wouldn't even touch it, avoided it every time. She asked him about it, and he replied, "I can't tell when I wipe all the dirt off." Now, he might have tried using soap, but he just couldn't see the dirt on the towel because it was black, and so he avoided that towel like a plague. Beloved, we can thank God that Mary and Joseph fulfilled the law for their son. We can thank God that Jesus came and fulfilled the law as the perfect Lamb of God and went to the cross of Calvary and shed His red blood that the blackness of our sin might be made as white as snow. That was Simeon as well. At the very moment that Mary and the Joseph had come, the Holy Spirit had led Simeon to meet them. Simeon was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. He found himself in the right place at the right time, doing what God wanted him to do. Well, but that's all God wants from us. God wants us to walk with Him. God wants us to love Him with all our heart and soul and mind. The preparation of Simeon. Now, I've got about 6 minutes left, and I will be done on time. Notice the declaration of Simeon, and I love these verses. "Then he took him up in his arm and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word.'" He was anxious to go home. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, I love the next two verses. "Which thou hast prepared in the presence or in the face of all people." Jesus was to be the Savior of all mankind, every ethnic group. And then he says he was to be in the face of the Savior of all people. Verse 32, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Do you not notice that he mentions the Gentiles first? You go back into Isaiah chapter 60, and Israel as a nation was to be a light to the pagan Gentile world, but so often they were anything but the light of life to the world. It was God's purpose that through them would come the seed that would bring salvation for the sinners of the entire world. And we likewise have a mission and a responsibility to get the gospel outside of the walls of Westwood Baptist Church. We are to be a light to a world in darkness. And this world needs the gospel as never before. Simeon accepted his responsibility with the Christ child. Simeon knew at once the child was the Christ child. How did he know? We don't know. He walks into the temple, and at this particular time, the parents would come and they would bring their children into the temple to be blessed by some rabbi or one of the priests. And so there were all kinds of children coming into the temple at this time. How did he know this one? But he walks into the temple because the Lord led him there. So he knew in his heart that the Christ had to be there. And then immediately God directed his heart toward Mary and Joseph and that little child. And without a whole moment's hesitation, he lifted up that child and with those tears blessed the name of God, because he says, I have seen thy redemption. I have seen, I have held in my arms the salvation of mankind. We can't imagine what that meant to him. All the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of a Redeemer were going to be fulfilled in this child. But he didn't see just that. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many of Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And he's talking about the ultimate sign was that he would be put on a cross. Remember I pointed out, I think in the Sunday school class maybe, or earlier when I read scripture, how Mary pondered all these things. She pondered the birth of her child. She pondered the prophecies when her child was growing up. She had a lot of questions. She pondered when she stood with John below the cross of Christ and Jesus entrusted her into John's care. She pondered the suffering and death of her son. That's why he said, Simeon is going to be for the fall and rising of many, and shall be a sign spoken against. But that sign spoken against was the consolation, the hope of the entire world. And then in verse 29, Simeon asks to be released from the service to the Lord. Listen to what it says. Lord, now then let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Simeon had served God faithfully like a slave all of his life. The Greek word Lord that he uses here is a word despot. The Lord was the master. The Lord called the shots in his life. Simeon was ready to die because he followed the master. He walked in the footsteps of Jesus, even though that Jesus had not yet been born. He obeyed. And as a result, he had that glorious thing to do. And once he had done it, the whole purpose of his life was fulfilled, and he was ready to die and go home. My friend, this morning, are you walking with God? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Did you look past this last year? How much did you fulfill God's plan for your life? Or how much was it selfish, self-centered, in anything but what God wanted? As you look for the last 5 years, do you see faithfulness? Do you see consistency? The greatest blessing of life comes to those who surrender to Jesus Christ. I close with this story. Some time ago, a man in England purchased an oak casket for a considerable amount of money. And he would go out and he had that casket delivered to his garage. He'd go out every day and he would polish it. And then he made sure that the handles were made out of the finest brass that he could find. And he even went so far as to get up on a little stool and climb into the casket and then have somebody take a picture of him to see how he'd look in his fine little casket. People will go a long ways. Then he said, after he had done all these things, he says, I want to see how I will look in death. I'm 92 years of age. I've lived a rough life. I'm making sure that I'm going to go out respectably, placed in an oak casket with brass handles and everything. Beloved, it's all right to make provision for the body to a limited sense, but it's far more important that we make provision for eternity. We are at the end. The book is almost closed on 2017. But thank God we've got a year ahead of us. It doesn't have to be like it was this past year. It could be better. The Apostle Paul, as he neared his death, said this, I am ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are you ready for Jesus to come this year? Are you ready if you were to pass into his presence? Shall we pray?